If you actually got a chance to join us last week for our first online service, or maybe you listened to the podcast, you know that I decided to take a little break from our regular series we've been in that's been walking us through the Bible. And I did that because I wanted to do just a little mini-series that I hope will help encourage us and help us grow closer to the Lord in the midst of these times that we find ourselves in. And although this is technically a brand new series with new messages, I stole the title from an old series I did when we first planted the church years ago. And so the title of this little mini-series that we're going to be walking through is this. It's Warning, Do Try This at Home. And as you've probably figured out, it's a little play on the disclaimer that is often shown on videos or TV shows where these dangerous stunts or activities happen. And so they often put up this disclaimer that says something like, warning, don't try this at home. But this series is saying the opposite. Because we're going to be looking at some things that we do regularly on Sundays, normally here at church when we gather together. And my encouragement to everyone that's listening is that we should be doing these things at home as well. These things that we're going to talk about throughout this series are things that we should be doing regularly in our lives. Not just at church, and definitely not just once a week or once a month or however many times you attend. And so last week we talked about the fact that we need to be reading the Bible, that we need to be reading God's Word and the importance of letting God speak to us through His Word, especially right now, especially in these times, because there are a lot of influences out there in our world right now. There are all sorts of people and things trying to tell us what they think we should be doing, how we should be responding. But the Bible is the one place that we can go to that is full of God's truth. And reading His Word is one of those things that we should be doing at home. And then the next topic that I want to talk about today in our series is that we should also be praying at home. Prayer is such a powerful tool. It's a powerful form of communication that God has given us to be able to connect with Him. And the reality is there is so much for us to understand and to learn about this thing called prayer. What is prayer? Why do we pray? Why should we pray? What should we pray about? What shouldn't we pray about? Prayer is such a powerful thing. Or really, what I should say is, God is such a powerful God who listens to and desires to answer our prayers. Last week, I mentioned Philippians 4:6, where it talks about instead of worrying, pray. Instead of worrying, make your requests known to the Lord. But I think there are some things we have to realize and some things that we have to understand when it comes to prayer, when it comes to actually making our requests known. And so this morning, I want to share with you some things that the Lord has put on my heart this week in regards to prayer for us right now in these times. And I want to actually start with two things that prayer shouldn't be. And the first is this. Prayer shouldn't be about us getting what we want. A lot of times people think of God much like a genie in a bottle. And His job is to show Himself when we cry out to Him and to answer our requests, to come to our rescue. But if we think of prayer simply as a means to get what we want, then we're missing out on the true nature and purpose of prayer. Because if that's our view of prayer, what happens when we don't get what we pray for? What happens when God doesn't answer prayer in the way we want Him to? Or the way we think He should? It's unfortunate, but I know many people who have abandoned their faith for this very reason. Because God didn't answer their prayers. God didn't help them the way that they thought He should have in the midst of their time of need. You see, prayer is not about us getting God to meet our desires. Prayer is about learning to bring our desires into alignment with His. It's seeking to align our lives with God's will and purpose for each of us. You see, the true purpose of prayer is to draw us close to the heart of God so that our will and our desires actually align with His will and His desires. We see this example demonstrated for us by Jesus Himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Luke chapter 22, verse 42, Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, He prayed to the Father. And He said this, "Father, if You are willing, take this cup from Me." And this cup that He's talking about, it's dying on the cross. It's the pain that He's going to go through. But then He continues saying, "Yet not My will, but Yours be done." You see, it's understanding that the kingdom of God goes far beyond Darren Hausler. It goes far beyond any of our desires, any of our hopes and wants, because the will of God isn't just based upon us. It's not based upon our lives. You see, the problem is in our selfishness, we want God's will to bend to our way. We want His will to align with what we want. But the reality is we have to learn to come alongside the Lord and to pray for His will, not our will, to be done. You see, Jesus, He didn't want to die this horrible death on a cross. The thought of it, man, it caused Him to sweat blood, it says in the Scriptures. He didn't want to do this. He was scared. He, in His human aspect, He was fully God and fully human. But in the human aspect, man, He knew what He was going to go through. And if there was any other way. But He said, "Not My will, Your will be done," to the Father. He desired God's will for His life more than He desired His own comfort. When difficult situations arise in our lives and we seek God's help in prayer, most of the time, we just automatically assume that it's God's will for us to avoid any pain or suffering. But when we think this way, and when we curve our lives to miss some of those challenges and struggles that would actually make us stronger, actually make us grow, that would actually help us become who God has called us to be, we miss the best for our lives in those situations. The reality is there are times that we're going to go through difficulties, and there are times that we may not know what to pray. But when those times arise, we need to go to God in prayer, and we need to seek Him and say, "Lord, not My will, but Your will be done." In Alexander Solzhenitsyn's book, "One Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich," again, I probably just hacked those names up, Russian names, I have no idea how to pronounce them. But anyways, in his book, Ivan endures all the horrors of a Soviet prison camp. And one day he's praying when a fellow prisoner notices him and says with ridicule, "Prayer won't help you get out of here." Opening his eyes, Ivan answers the man, saying, I do not pray to get out of prison. I pray that I do the will of God." Man, what if that's how all of us prayed? If instead of praying for a life of ease, if instead of praying Lord, give me what I want, what I desire. What if we prayed for the will of God to be done in and through our lives? Prayer isn't just about getting what we want. It's about seeing the will of God accomplished in and through our lives. This is why it's important that we're praying at home. This is why it's important that we understand the purpose of prayer. Now, the second thing that I want to share about prayer today is this, is prayer shouldn't be one-sided. I'm guessing that most of us, when we think about prayer, the first thing we think about is us talking to God, us telling God our wants and our needs. And that is definitely part of prayer. But the thing we have to realize is that's not the only part. I heard it once said that prayer is not a monologue, but rather a dialogue, which means we also need to take time to listen to the Lord, to listen to His voice, to hear His voice. John 10:27 says this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Prayer is one of those ways that we hear God's voice, that we begin to know God's voice. It's one of the ways that He actually communicates with His people. But it's hard for us to hear Him if we aren't taking time to allow Him to speak, to allow Him to respond. You see, God loves it when we call out to Him. He loves for us to make our requests known. He tells us to do this in the Scriptures. But He also loves to respond back to us. He loves to communicate with us, to speak to us about the very things that we're bringing to Him. He wants to encourage us. He wants to allow us to hear His voice, especially when we're going through difficult times. You see, prayer was never meant to be this one-sided thing that so often we make it. And so we need to make sure that we're taking time to let God speak back. Taking time to hear that still, small voice that gives us direction and answers to the things that we're seeking. And honestly, sometimes, as we take time to allow Him to respond, it's then that we actually experience His peace and comfort. Sometimes it's honestly not even words that we hear in response to our prayers. And I think that the best example I can give you of what I mean here is actually my relationship with my wife. There have been those times in the 25 years that we've been married where Stacy was maybe sad or upset because of circumstances beyond our control, because of tragedies or difficult things that have happened in our life. And as she shared her feelings with me, as she poured out her heart, I knew that I couldn't change what had happened. And I wasn't sure if there were even words that I could say that would actually help. And so in those times, instead of saying anything, I would just put my arms around her and hold her close. And she has shared with me how that simple gesture in those times has brought more peace and comfort to her than anything that I could have said back. And I think sometimes that's how God responds to us when we take time to listen. He doesn't always speak with words. Instead, sometimes He just wraps us in His arms and brings this peace and comfort that we so desperately need in those times. And I know many of us right now could use that in these times. And it's one of the reasons why prayer shouldn't be one-sided. It's why we need to take time to make our requests known, but also to sit back and to just listen and let God speak into our lives. And so prayer, it shouldn't be about us getting what we want. It shouldn't be one-sided. But there's one thing this morning I want to share with you that I really think prayer should be. And this is where I'm going to wrap up. Number three, prayer should be childlike. And what I mean by that is that when we pray, we should pray with great expectation. We should pray with a childlike faith. I think there are a lot of times that we pray and we don't really expect God to answer our prayers. It becomes this empty ritual that we do simply because that's what Christians do, right? We're supposed to pray. When in doubt, pray. I'm sure this is something we've probably all struggled with at some time or another. Praying without really believing. Praying without faith. But the question we have to ask ourselves is why are we praying then? If we don't believe that God can actually answer our prayers, if we don't believe He can heal, if we don't believe He can actually change our circumstances, then why do we pray? Now, the thing is, I want you to know, we're not the first people to struggle with this aspect of praying with faith. In Acts 12, we read about a group of believers from the early church who were praying for Peter when he was about to be killed. In Acts 12, we hear the story of where King Herod had arrested Peter and had him locked up in prison and chained to not one, but to two guards. He was taking every precaution to keep Peter under wraps. And that's because Herod had planned to have Peter tried and then to kill him in the same way that he had done to James, the brother of John. And so the early church had gathered together and they were praying earnestly for Peter. They were praying for God to save him, for God to do a miracle. And late that night, when Peter was sleeping there between the two soldiers, an angel actually appeared to him and said, "Peter, hey, Peter," says he jabbed him in the side, get up, let's go. And so Peter got up and he walked right out of the prison, right through the walls, right through the bars. And Peter, he first thought it was a dream. Right? I mean, it would be a little weird to get up and you see that the guards are still there and you put your clothes on and you walk through the doors and you just walk through the bars and all of a sudden you're out. And he thought it was just a dream. But when he came to his senses, he realized that he was now a free man standing outside the prison. And so he hurried to the house where many of the believers had been praying and he knocked on the door. And we're told that a servant girl named Rhoda came to the door asking who it was. And he said, "It's Peter, let me in." And I want to read the rest to you from the scriptures here in Acts 12, verses 14 through 16. It goes on to say this: "When she recognized Peter's voice, she was overjoyed and she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, 'Peter is at the door.' 'You're out of your mind,' they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, 'It must be his angel.' But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished." Now, as I mentioned, the believers who had gathered in that house, they had been praying earnestly for Peter. They had been praying on his behalf. They were praying for God to save him. But when you look at the story here, it would seem that it's as if they didn't really believe their prayers would work. When Rhoda told them it was Peter, they said things like, "You're out of your mind, girl," right? That's what they said. Or, "Well, it must be his angel, like he died and it's his angel." They seemed to have trouble believing that maybe, just maybe, their prayers were answered. Maybe, just maybe, God had done this miracle, which in fact, he did. The people had been praying for Peter, and God answered their prayers. The only thing is that apparently, they weren't praying with a whole lot of expectation. Because it says that when they realized this, that it was actually him, they were astonished. But why? Why were they astonished? Wasn't that exactly what they were praying for? It's amazing how often we pray, but we really don't expect God to answer our prayers. This is why I believe our prayers should be childlike. We should be praying with great expectation, with a childlike faith. Now, I know I've shared this illustration at church before, at least two or three times throughout the last 8 years that we've been at this church, but I can't think about praying with childlike faith and not think of my own experience. As God has reminded me of this experience and challenged me with this experience in my own life, and it goes back to when I was 5 or 6 years old. My dad played on our church basketball team, and I loved going to the games and watching him play. And one of the games, my mom wasn't able to make it to the game, and so I was sitting in the stands with some friends while my dad was out on the court playing. And suddenly the gym, it got quiet, and the basketball players on the court were all gathered around someone who was laying on the ground in pain. And it turns out, the person on the ground was my dad. He had actually broken his ankle. So someone had taken him to the emergency room, and our friends ended up dropping me off at home. And a few hours later, my dad returned home with this nice, big, white plaster cast on his leg. And when I realized what had happened, when I realized that he broke his leg, when I realized that he had a cast, I simply told him, as a little 5-6-year-old who believed that God could do anything, I said, "God, Dad, you don't need that cast. Why don't I need that cast, son? Because God can heal you." And neither my dad or I can really remember if we prayed or how it all came about, but the next thing I remember is that my dad had a sheetrock knife, and he was trying to cut off this plaster cast. Now, the funny thing is that the sheetrock knife wasn't doing anything, and I think he was more afraid of, instead of having a broken leg, having a big gash down his leg with the sheetrock knife, he finally gave up and he told me, "Hey, I have a doctor's appointment in 2 days, and I'm going to go to the doctor and I'm just going to tell him to cut off this cast because I believe my leg is healed." And so my dad, just a few days after breaking his leg, he walked into the doctor's office and asked him to remove the cast. Now, I know the doctor must have thought he was crazy, but here's the thing. My dad came home that day with no cast and a leg that was completely healed. All because, as a young little boy, I believed that God could do anything. It's amazing what childlike prayer can accomplish. And it's because it has nothing to do with us and everything to do with the power of the God we serve. We serve a big God. We serve a God of miracles. And in these times, we need to be seeking Him. We need to be praying. We need to be putting our faith in Him. Every single day, we need to be praying for His will to be done in our lives. We need to be listening to His voice for guidance and direction. And we need to expect Him to move with great power and authority. Prayer is such a powerful tool that God has given us. And we have to make it a priority in our lives, especially in these times. And so I encourage you, do try this at home. Because I believe if we continue to do this at home, we're going to see God do amazing things in and through our lives. And maybe not what we want, but His will. And that's our heart and that's our desire, to see not our will, but His will be done. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your word today. We thank You for prayer, that You've given us a way to connect with You, a way to communicate with You, Lord. And we thank You, Lord, that prayer isn't one-sided. That, Lord, You want to speak back to us. You want to speak into our lives. You want to answer prayers. You want to guide us and direct us. You want to wrap us in Your arms and bring peace and comfort and joy to our lives, even in the midst of the circumstances and struggles that we face. And so, Lord, I thank You for this word this morning. I thank You for the challenge to be people who pray. The challenge to be people who don't just pray about what we want, who don't just do all the talking. People who pray with a childlike faith, praying for Your will to be done, seeing You move in lives, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, help us to be people who pray, not just at church, not just on Sundays, but that prayer would become a regular part of our lives, Lord. That the more we pray, the more we would see the move of Your Spirit in and through our lives and those around us, Lord. And so we thank You for this word. We just pray that You allow it to speak to each of us right where we're at, Lord. We lay it before You, Lord. What is it that You want to speak to me today? What is it that You want to speak to each of us today through Your word? May You allow it to speak to our hearts and challenge us in these times, Lord. We thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for this day, Lord. We give it to You, and we just pray Your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.